This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
They wouldn't.
Hi, I'm Greg Gutfeld, along with Judge Jeanine Pirro, Jessica Tarlov, Jesse Waters. And she's not a genie, but she does fit in a bottle. Dana Perino, The Five.
It comes into the box again, an Iranian player looking for a penalty. And the game is over.
I called it. Cue the USA chants and an epic takedown. Team USA kicking the Ayatollah's ass. The red, white, and blue coming out on top, 1-0 over Iran. And one of the biggest wins for America in World Cup history. Not since Sergeant Slaughter beat the Iron Sheik has there been a bigger inspirational win over Iran by the United States. Now the U.S. will advance to the knockout stage. Here's the goal that put us on top. Not working. Well. Want to keep going? Team USA says you haven't seen anything yet. Maybe this will work.
You know, I always say it's us against the world because no one believed that, U.S. can play good football. And, you know, we're just here trying to show the world. And I think it's no better than to do it with the people you love, our families in the stands. So, I mean, we do it for them.
America's victory coming amid major political tensions in Iran. The thuggish Iranian government has been cracking down on its citizens. They have been protesting the death of a 22-year-old woman who was killed for not wearing a hair covering. The rogue nation also reportedly threatened its soccer team and the players' families with imprisonment and torture if they fail to behave in the lead up to the game against the United States. So, Dana, your husband is British.
Yes.
That is an important fact when we discuss football or what we call soccer here. British love soccer because they love failure. and what soccer is, as you can tell by the score, 1-0, is a game about failure. Repeatedly trying to score, but failing until you do. In a way, it's like skateboarding. You see the kids just keep doing.
You got to really work for that score.
You got to work for that thing. Tell me, what did you draw from this incredible win? 1-0, very close game.
Very close game, and I believe that was in the first half. The goal.
Yes.
Hemmer organized people to go over and watch at the Pig and Whistle.
Oh, really? Bill Hemmer did.
Bill
during
Hemmer
work
did.
Hours.
Well,
during work hours.
He was finished with his work. Yes, at the
must
time.
Be nice.
So he was over there at the Pig and Whistle. He had all of his friends there. So Peter never took his eyes off the screen. He said it was a well-deserved win against worthy and tough opponents, and that America, as they go on to play the Netherlands on Saturday, that's going to be a tough team.
Netherlands.
And our team is very young, but they're super fast, so they might just do it.
You know, speaking of the Netherlands, you know, Jesse, we just beat Iran. You know, I'm a huge, huge supporter of Team USA.
Yes.
Been watching this, and we beat Iran, which is undoubtedly evil. Can you convince me that the Netherlands is just as evil, if not more evil, than Iran?
They
because that would help us beat the Netherlands.
They played a major role in the international slave trade.
Did they?
Originally.
Okay. I didn't expect that. I didn't expect you to have an answer.
Yeah.
Most people don't. I haven't gotten the intel on the Dutch yet, but whatever I can find out their weaknesses, I'm sure I'll be able to exploit it somehow.
Thank you.
I'm disappointed that we didn't beat the Iranians 5-0 because I watched this whole game, and I'm not a soccer guy.
No.
But I was a soccer guy today.
Yeah.
Because America was playing. I don't care what sport we play, whether it's shuffleboard or the luge. I want to beat the pants off the competition. And they need to change the rules of the game.
Mm. Okay, here
we go. Hear me out.
Yes.
They need to make the goal bigger because there's not enough scoring.
Yeah.
I can't watch games 0-0. The other day we tied England 0-0. Everyone said, oh, good. Well, England's good. That was a good. Who cares? No one scored for 90 minutes. It's like me in college. And then you also have a game, what was it, 1-1 with Wales?
Yes.
Wales?
Yeah.
So we go into this game, and I'm thinking, if we tie or lose to the Iranians, I might have to kill myself. Because I have invested more time watching soccer than I ever have in my entire life. And it's good, it's exciting, but there's not enough scoring.
But you have to understand, what I was talking to with Dana here is that it's not just about the scoring, it's finding new ways to score and not succeeding until you finally
score. Like, we had 17 corner kicks last game, and we didn't even get a shot on goal.
I feel the same way about basketball.
What?
There's too much scoring.
I love basketball.
It's too much scoring.
That was Greg in college.
Well, Jesse, we'll talk about that some other time. Jessica, a lot of people don't know this, but you went to the World Cup in 2018. That must have been an incredible experience for you.
It was.
Did it bring back fond memories when you watched the show, watched the game today? And did you root against America being a liberal? Why do you hate America and why do you hate Team USA, Jessica? Answer the question.
I just want to talk about soccer. No, it was amazing going to the World Cup. I went to the semifinal match between France and Belgium, which was super exciting. It's so fun going to events where the teams are nations, right? That's what's so cool about the Olympics as well, right? That you just get into it on a patriotic level and you meet the most amazing fans who have traveled from all over the world to come to support their team. So I loved it. I didn't watch all of this game because I was preparing for the show, Jesse.
This is on the show.
Well, we didn't know that until more recently, but that's a very good point. But I did, to make a more serious point about this, I felt so sad for the Iranian footballers as they were being forced to sing their national anthem before the game. You can see kind of the pain and feelings almost of remorse that they're doing this. Their families could be in danger if they don't. And so this is obviously fun and you're supposed to enjoy these kinds of things, but it has such a higher level of import considering what's going on at home in Iran and what these players have taken on. So that was striking for me. Striking. See what I did
very
there?
Good,
it was accidental,
good.
But
that was
taking
good.
Credit.
Yeah, you know, that's the same place where I was. You know, I was thinking about the fact that, you know, that these players and their families are being threatened in Iran. They have to go out there and put on their best game, you know, get their best energy and get out there and do the best they can for fear that they're going to suffer, their family's going to suffer. But I think it's amazing that they stood there and they didn't mouth the words to their Iranian national anthem. I also think that the women who are protesting in Iran right now are to be commended because they took in this Mini, who was, 21 years old. She wasn't wearing her hijab the right way. She dies in police custody. I mean, it's about time that, you know, the Iranians, the Ayatollah, understand that this is a different world. And that, you know, you can't rely on your team to go out there and represent you, you know, the way you're treating them and you expect them to act a certain way. So, you know, I'm glad America won. I wanted America to win, but I'm kind of sad, but not so sad that Iran lost.
I'm surprised they didn't play better if their families' lives were in danger.
Yeah. Well, they're scared.
Well, you didn't say.
I mean, that is a big motivator.
It really is, Jesse. And
we dominated them the whole game.
On one political point too that I could make to save the segment.
Yes.
Is that yesterday at a press conference, an Iranian journalist our player was very gracious and dignified, and the question was, "How do you feel about playing for a racist country?"
Right.
Like, first of all, you don't even let women play.
Yeah.
You don't let women walk. You are killing your own citizens. Do you know how many women and children have died in these protests in the last 3 months? Like, how dare you? Our player was very gracious. Yeah. He didn't cause an international scene, but I bet he was thinking it.
Yeah. Well, I heard that reporter was auditioning for CNN. So he was, it was just a basic question. How can you play for a racist country?
He was probably prepared for it.
Yes, exactly. Well, you know, I think we cover sports better than anybody.
Are we not going to talk about your sweater?
Well, no. This, as you know, I'm not a fair weather fan. I wore this every single day.
Yeah. Really? Who's their best player on Team USA, Greg?
Who's the best player?
Yeah.
You know, that's a trick question. They're all the best players.
Well done.
Name one.
Name one.
We got to go to break.
They're telling me we got to move on. Okay. Yep. All right. Okay. Team USA isn't done kicking butt. America is set to face off against the Netherlands, and you can watch that big World Cup game this Saturday on Fox. I'll be actually hosting that.
I can't wait to hear your analysis.
That's not even the word, hosting it. Anyway, coming up next, the White House telling Elon Musk he better watch out as he brings free speech to Twitter. Who's gonna live?
Nation's special holiday offer extended. Join Fox Nation for only $150 a month. Stream all the biggest series and specials.
Tucker Carlson's in the house tonight, y'all.
It's a moment that only treasure hunters get to enjoy.
Plus, catch Kevin Costner in Yellowstone 150.
When I was younger, I saw pictures of Yellowstone, and I thought, could there be a place like this in the world?
And Christmas at the Greenbrier.
2, 1.
This deal ends on Wednesday, so don't miss out.
Teeth sensitivity is...
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week, every week. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
No, we just want to be right now. Right now. And what we see is everybody's on the floor.
Big Brother Biden is back with a vengeance. The censorship happy crew over at the White House aren't too thrilled with Twitter's new owner, Elon Musk. You see, they're used to colluding with big tech in order to censor Americans and whatever they deem misinformation. But the world's richest man actually sticks to his free speech principles. So the White House has this warning.
This is something that we're certainly keeping an eye on. And look, we have always been very clear and that when it comes to social media platforms, it is their responsibility to make sure that when it comes to misinformation, when it comes to the hate that we're seeing, that they take action, that they continue to take action. Again, we're all keeping a close eye on this.
But here's why the White House is so worried. Elon Musk says he's preparing to release sensitive Twitter files on free speech suppression. Musk calling the threat from Biden's goons messed up and also tweeting this. This is a battle for the future of civilization. If free speech is lost, even in America, tyranny is all that lies ahead. And top Republican leader Kevin McCarthy thinks Elon's critics need to back off.
That is offensive to me. Government's going to go after someone that wants to have free speech? What do they have to look at Twitter about? Do they want to go more after American public about whether they can have an opinion on something? I think the American public have spoken on this. I think our First Amendment stands up, and I think they should stop picking on Elon Musk.
Okay, Dana, you know, we're keeping a close eye on Twitter. Does it get any more Big Brother than that?
I wrote down that the White House needs to take a step back because we know one thing for sure. They keep a very close eye on Twitter. They make all of their policies based on what they see on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And they react to Twitter constantly. And you have the chief of staff retweeting every little thing on Twitter. So that is their issue. But there is another thing that happened today. So Elon Musk announces this, that there's possibly going to be transparency on what happened on the censorship. On the same time today, Google and YouTube announced this new fact-checking global operation. They're going to have $13 million for a new partnership with Poynter Institute's National Fact-Checking Network to promote more accurate information online. Now, maybe it's going to be great, but I have a feeling that you will have a lot of conservative sites say, well, wait, we can't even get on Google search results. So everybody is afraid that something else is happening on the other side. So I do think more transparency is great. If that's going to engender trust and more free speech, that's really good. The White House, I don't think they need to be keeping a close eye on it because that's actually the problem in the first place. That's why we have that one issue on COVID where you have the White House now, some of the former employees having to give testimony about whether they were talking to the big tech companies to have them censor things online about COVID. So it's coming back to bite them.
You know, Greg, does anything get more fascist than the termination of free speech?
Oh, I can think of some things, but that's for another time. I want to comment on what you just said. They pay attention to Twitter so much that they're taking it so hard because they fear that they're going to lose their crutch. Their news and their opinions are created by Twitter trends, which are kind of created by a loud minority of time-wasting shut-ins. And that dictates their opinions, right? And if you didn't like me, if you didn't like to think, Twitter would do that for you. And now what you're seeing is all of those unoriginal thoughts may go away. And where are they going to? Right. You're noticing if you're on Twitter, you notice that it's a lot more fun lately. And it seems like the angriest people have migrated to Mastodon. which is the left-wing version of Twitter, and they are now censoring each other. They're banning each other. So they took their own weird practices with them. And what's left on Twitter is kind of a more freeing. And yes, maybe there might be something there that is disagreeable, but that's, you know, that's part of speech. And I think this is my last point. The reason why I think the government and the media don't like somebody who's widening the lanes of free speech is because they defined disagreeableness as hate speech and hate speech as crime. Therefore, disagreeable speech, when it's on Twitter, makes free speech a crime. So, right? If free speech allows for disagreeable speech and you call that hate speech, then freedom of speech is in danger of being called hate speech. We talked about this for years. We said this is where it was going.
You know, Bezos is threatening, Apple is threatening to block Twitter from the App Store. What's that all about?
So Apple won't do business with Twitter, but they'll do business with the communist Chinese. Mm-hmm. That tells you a lot about Apple. I've noticed a little difference in Twitter. I've noticed there's less disinformation, there's less hate, and there's less liberals on Twitter. I wonder if that's a coincidence. I do agree with the White House on two things. One is, you can't allow foreign bot armies to come in mm-hmm. and fight information warfare against the United States. It's a national security risk. Musk has that under control. But the government can't ban American free speech in the name of fighting foreign information. Mm-hmm. And that's tyrannical. And also, if I was running Twitter, I wouldn't want lots of people saying, kill whites, kill cops, kill blacks. You don't want that on your private platform. So you got to suppress that kind of speech. But to use an analogy based off the World Cup, the White House is kind of like a soccer player that flops. You say one critical thing and they're twisting and writhing. You're saying you're putting my life in danger. This is a death threat. No, I just barely tickled you. And that's what they're trying to do with hate speech. Anything critics say, hate speech, we're all going to die. Now, what they're trying to do with Musk, they're trying to make him toxic. And they're trying to launch boycotts against him.
Yep.
But he has the moral high ground because free speech is above all that. And he's winning the PR war because he's funny. And that's his greatest asset is he's ridiculing the establishment. And they look sensitive and square. And he's enjoying himself in that fight. And that's what people see. And it's endearing.
You know, Jessica, Twitter is a private company. Mm-hmm. Where does the government get off saying we're going to monitor this and we're going to watch it? And just from a criminal justice perspective, you investigate crimes. You don't investigate people and companies. What is the crime so far?
That's why we're only keeping an eye on the situation.
Oh.
But there is a long history of tech companies working with the government to make sure that dangerous things don't happen. And that's really important. And the COVID-19 misinformation policy started under the Trump administration. It was in early 2020 when there was tons of bad information floating around. And Trump officials worked with Twitter. And then Biden took over. And then Biden officials worked with Twitter. The same thing goes on with YouTube.
Fauci worked with Twitter. He's not a Trump official. He's been there for 80,000 years.
Okay, but he's whatever. Everyone knows that Fauci served in 8 administrations, and one of them was Donald Trump's, and one of them is Joe Biden's, and he also worked for all the guys that came before him. So let's be clear about that. When you say that Elon Musk is winning the PR battle, at the rate that he's losing advertisers, he's not winning anything. He still needs to be profitable. That was his goal, right, in taking over this. He thought he could make it better, and he thought that he could make it produce more money.
Advertising model is always a challenge when you're dealing with users, subscribers, or viewers. That's true. But he's getting way more users than he's ever had.
Right, sure, so but...
Yeah, and so you go for a pay model. You know, that's what a lot of successful companies do, Jessica. You know? Stay after class. We're going to talk about the economics of Twitter.
I can't wait. But I have to be somewhere. The whole Mastodon thing I find incredibly funny. Like all these people that I follow posting, you know, if it becomes unsafe for us here, this is where you can find me.
Yeah.
It's not that serious. Twitter is the only social media that I have. I really enjoy it. Like if I'm doom scrolling, I'm doing it on Twitter. And if it went away in about a week, we would all be okay. Right. It, its main function is to get you up to date news information, at least for people who work in the business that we do and majority of the people that we're interacting with on Twitter.
It replaced Drudge, basically, right? Before Twitter, you were always looking at Drudge, and now you
refresh.
I think not so much for my people, but people were looking for my people, but...
Are you hanging out with Kanye again?
I would like to talk about that. So if it'll be interesting to see when all of these people who have been banned, I know Kanye was only suspended for a couple weeks because of his anti-Semitic tweet, but it will be interesting to see how far Musk will go in terms of restoring accounts to people who are really repugnant. And I'm sure he won't bring on, bring back Nick Fuentes or Alex Jones, but that will be
repugnant. Versus another standard.
Holocaust deniers are just straight up repugnant.
Hate speech is protected by the First Amendment and the Constitution and the United States Supreme Court.
Okay.
It just blanked.
Holocaust deniers should not be around.
Democrats threaten to defund the police if they can't take your guns away.
Yes, I can see you. Every girl here wanna be a. She's a diva. I feel the same and I want to meet her.
Investing in gold doesn't have. Looks like the Democrats are bringing back their defund the police insanity in full force. Gun-grabbing Democrat Senator Chris Murphy is looking to punish conservative states that support the Second Amendment.
The majority of counties in this country have declared that they are not going to enforce state and federal gun laws. They have decided that they are going to essentially refuse to implement laws that are on the books. That is a growing problem in this country. And I think we're going to have a conversation about that in the United States Senate. Do we want to continue to supply funding to law enforcement in counties that refuse to implement state and federal gun laws?
Sorry, Chris. Americans aren't giving up their guns that easily. In fact, Santa is going to be packing heat this Christmas. Gun sales are booming with the FBI running nearly 200,000 background checks for Black Friday. And the number of handgun owners carrying daily in the United States has doubled in 4 years. What's Senator Chris Murphy talking about here?
Nothing. Let me tell you what's wrong with Senator Chris Murphy here. He says that he wants to defund police departments that aren't making arrests on gun crimes. First of all, how do you decide whether or not the police should make an arrest? Is it whether or not there is sufficient evidence? Who decides whether there's sufficient evidence? What if the prosecutor says there isn't sufficient evidence? What if there isn't a conviction? What if the case isn't cleared? They haven't investigated. Let's go to the prosecutors. What if the prosecutors, like Alvin Bragg, decide we're not even going to prosecute an arrest, so don't even bother to make an arrest for a gun crime. And you want to talk about sanctuary? Let's talk about sanctuary cities where illegals who end up committing crimes are protected from law enforcement and they're not prosecuted for crimes. You want to defund law enforcement? How about you defund the FBI? They knew about Nicholas Cruz and the Parkland shooting. They knew about the Tsarnaev brothers. They were warned by Russia twice. And while you're at it, what about the fact that in all of these jurisdictions, gun crimes may not be the priority that murders are, for example. And you've defunded everybody already so they don't have half of the resources they need for these crimes. And let me tell you one more thing. He's basing this whole thing on the 2021 situation where the LGBTQ one, whatever, shooter, had a problem with his mother. He says, and had they done a red flag on this kid, This shooting at the LGBTQ club wouldn't have happened. You're wrong, and I'll tell you why. It was more than a year ago, and that means it would have expired.
Mm. Wow, Chris Murphy just got hit in the face. What do you have to say about that? That makes a lot of sense. Can't argue with it.
Well, then I guess I have nothing to say. Is that what you want
me? You were looking for?
So the judge is obviously right about the expiration on the report of the bomb threat to his mother. But it turns out as well that in 2015, he had an incident when he went to live with his grandparents in San Antonio. There was some online bullying and he had lashed out. And that was something that could have been reported, but it wasn't. And what Chris Murphy is talking about is that if there are communities, and this was the first county after Jared Polis signed the red flag law in 2019 to say, we don't want to be a part of this, that if you don't want to be a part of it, that you shouldn't get the same level of funding as people who want to enforce the laws that are on the books. And now, in the wake of the Uvalde shooting, if you see how many Republicans are for red flag laws, this should be updated. I don't know if these policies should exist, and maybe we should have a longer terms on these red flag law reportings. It should be longer than a year.
Should Alvin Bragg's office be defunded? Because he's come right out and said, I'm not going to prosecute this. Sanctuary cities run by Democrats, whether it's the governor or local person, says we're not going to arrest on this, and this crime. Let's just do it across the board.
Sure.
Well said, Judge Jeanine. You are on fire right now.
Fuego.
Dana, just besides the obvious lack of common sense that this makes, what about politically? You have a Democrat senator just stepping in the defund goo all over again.
So if you want to make your gun control policies popular or be persuasive with them, you shouldn't tie them to the defund the police movement. That's what all the Democrats were talking about as they were facing tougher races than they wanted to in the midterms. But that's going back all 4 years ago. Remember, the defund the police was a big problem for them in 2020 as well, as when Republicans picked up seats. And also, the Congress just passed gun control legislation this past summer, and it didn't stop the shootings. Now, it might help prevent some in the future, which would be good. But if you want to have more laws, you have to be honest about the fact that you just passed one that didn't work. Why would this be different? And you cannot tie it to defund the police, or else you're going to end up, one, even more unpopular. But two, what you said, Jesse, that people are buying guns, but those people are buying them legally. And that, a lot of these, some of these shooters are buying them legally. So where's that? I think you could find consensus, bipartisan consensus, that says, okay, those types of people should not get guns. How do you do that? And I'm not an expert in that, but I think that's where you could pinpoint the problem.
And people are asking Santa Claus for weapons this Christmas.
Wow. That's an interesting way to get a gun. Anyway, police have no problems enforcing laws until the Dems decided to stop punishing the violators. That's the problem. I think he was trying to do what the liberals to steal from the left. They were trying to own the cons by adopting the sanctuary language to guns because he thought that would be clever. But the analogy is lousy because there is no sanctuary for breaking gun laws the way there is sanctuary for breaking immigration laws. So that's why it's so confusing, because it sounded like he was saying, I'm going to defund the police even if the police are doing their job and you legally own a gun. That's what it sounds like. But having said that, I love the idea of a sanctuary city for guns, or just a sanctuary neighborhood, because what a great experiment to take 8 blocks of Manhattan. Everybody there can legally own and carry as long as they're law-abiding citizens. They're not criminals. What a great experiment that would be to see what would happen in those 8 square blocks compared to the rest of the city. Everybody would want to live there. Everybody. But the thing is, they'll never do the experiment because they'll know. No one wants to know the outcome.
It's like, in the movies, in the mob movies, nobody commits a crime in a mob neighborhood.
Yeah, it's true.
Also, they'll do experiments of legalizing, opium dens in the middle of San Francisco.
Yes.
Just to check.
Where were those opium dens again?
San Francisco, I believe.
Oh, okay. Johnny, book me a flight. Straight ahead, environmentalists are acting like mobsters and trying to take away your lobsters.
Ooh, that almost
works. When I see your face, there's not a thing that I would change, 'cause you're amazing.
When you get a chip in your windshield,
is this just another example of corporations caving to activists? Whole Foods will no longer sell Maine lobsters in hundreds of its stores nationwide. This is a decision that could decimate the state's $1.4 billion industry, and it's all over concerns from one environmental group claiming the gear used to catch lobsters is killing a rare type of whale. As of right now, there are about 350 right whales on the planet. But Maine's Democratic governor says her state is being falsely blamed because there hasn't been a right whale death from Maine gear, and it's been 18 years since a whale got entangled in the state. Jesse spoke with a Maine lobsterman who says Whole Foods needs to check its facts.
Whole Foods maybe should have done a little bit more homework. We've been in business for over 150 years, and we've done our due diligence. We were conservationists before conservation was cool. I'm sorry they felt as though they had to jump on the bandwagon with all the rest of the West Coasters.
Jesse, you know, 12,000 jobs are on the line up there in Maine.
And he said that they were conservationists before conservation was cool. And that's right, because these activists, they're not out in the ocean. They're not out there hauling up lobsters at 4 a.m. They don't know a thing about what's in the deep sea. They're just probably sitting behind computer screens and ordering Seamless. These guys protect the ocean. They protect the environment. And they're real stewards of the environment. And it's a tough job. You're waking up at ungodly hours and you're working really, really hard physically. And lobster prices go up and down. And right now, you can't all of a sudden threaten an industry that's already being threatened by low prices and these Canadians that are being funded by the Chinese. So these guys don't need this. Jason's my boy. He took me out in his lobster boat for some cocktails over the summer. And I will be back next summer to enjoy a cocktail and more succulent lobster.
It reminds me, Judge, also of those groups that want cattle ranching to go away.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
What's the ultimate goal, which is that they don't want us to eat any sort of meat or protein.
Right, right. It's all about control. I mean, I don't ever remember a time in my life when there was so much concern about what we ate, you know. And that, I think the key to it is that no right whale has died due to the Maine lobster gear. I mean, the whole case rests on that. And if there's a problem, then you sanction them. You know, you have an environmental law and you prosecute it, but you don't take a whole state out of business and then deny people the right to buy a Maine lobster. What's better than a Maine lobster? Nothing.
And also, Jessica, this seems like a very rash decision by Whole Foods. Like no lobster at any store. What kind of a business decision is that?
Well, I don't know if they're going to go and try to get it from somewhere else.
Well, the Australians?
I don't know. I'm not endorsing it. I'm saying that they have customer base that likes lobster, but I'm with the judge. I was looking for the dead whale in all of this and couldn't find one. And then once I saw that the Democratic governor was mad about it, yes. I thought, okay, well, this has really gone too far.
Indeed. Yeah. Greg, there's a group called, this California group's called Seafood Watch. Mm-hmm. There's a pretty radical environmental group. They have taken $200 million in federal taxpayer dollars since 2001. And then they're using federal taxpayer dollars to try to destroy an industry.
It's ridiculous. That's all I can say. Dana, do you know where lobsters get their Christmas gifts?
No.
The gun store.
Santa Claus. I don't eat seafood.
Me
so
either.
I don't eat lobster. I don't really.
Why?
I don't.
So this doesn't affect you.
It doesn't affect me.
Doesn't affect
everything
you.
In, look, man. Everything at Whole Foods kills something. What do you think those chickens
it
come from?
It kills your appetite. Your appetite.
I'm tired of having this discussion with you.
We've only
you started. You're an insulting punk.
Personal attack. Where I draw the line.
Next up on Crossfire.
Yes.
Ah, throwback for you kids out there. Google it. All right, The Fastest is up next.
Okay, everyone, our mission.
Capitol Hill getting into the Christmas spirit just a little while ago, lighting their tree. It's a 78-foot spruce from North Carolina.
Hmm.
All right. It is pretty. And now it's time for The Fastest. First up, frivolous lawsuit or a landmark case? A woman is organizing a $5 million class action lawsuit against the Kraft Heinz company. She claims Velveeta mac and cheese takes longer to make than advertised. It's supposed to be ready in, quote, 3.5 minutes, but the woman says it takes longer and wouldn't have bought it had she known.
Ouch.
Judge, does she have a case?
Let me tell you something. I think that the company ought to cross-sue her for the intentional infliction of emotional distress and for all court costs for a frivolous lawsuit.
Yes.
That's the end of it.
Yes, absolutely.
God, you guys are so narrow-minded.
What would you enlighten us?
Well, I mean, if it says that on the box, it should do that. I get so angry. Like, for example, think about the things that you need most urgently and they're so hard to open.
Yes.
Do you ever notice that with Imodium?
Yeah.
Like Imodium and Pepto. Imodium and Pepto. You only need those when you need them. And yet, have you ever tried to open those damn things? And it's like they say, press here. They make a little cut there. I would sue the pants off them because oftentimes I've had to throw pants away because of them. Also, Nestle's Quick. Nestle's Quick. Has it ever looked like the chocolate milk on the front?
You got to stir it.
Oh, geez, I never thought of that. I never thought. How does one stir?
Is your wrist too limp?
No, no.
Swirl it around. No. Put a little elbow grease.
I stir till
the
cows come home.
This is about macaroni and cheese.
No, you see my point, though, right?
No.
No.
I also, doesn't every microwave have a different heat setting? Yeah. I think it usually says depends on the strength of your microwave.
Dana,
maybe she has a poor microwave.
If you read the research packet, how many times have I had to tell you that? They're counting other things like opening the box.
Yeah.
As opening the part of the 3.5 minutes. It's 3.5 minutes in the microwave, and then they're adding all these extemporaneous things.
She's ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
She's a hero.
Velveeta. Yeah.
She's a hero.
Should call a Fred Flag law on her.
Okay. Up next, add this to your list of flying grievances. Budget airline Frontier is getting rid of their telephone customer service. Customers who need help will have to resort to the airline's website instead. I hate this. This seems like the worst idea possible.
It takes the only joy out of my life.
What?
Waiting on hold to talk to customer service people.
It's the only, I can just talk to a stranger the way I always want to talk.
I feel like this is sure to backfire. At some point, this
is going to backfire.
They're going to lose money.
They're going to lose flights. If you can't get on the phone and complain about something, they're going to lose money. Period.
And it's going to cause more fights on Frontier, which they already have a problem with.
How do you know?
Haven't you seen the video we put?
Every video we show is usually.
It's always Frontier or Southwest.
Southwest,
no,
I know.
No offense.
They should be playing that up more. Like, say, you buy the ticket, but come for the fight.
Yeah, maybe they become the rowdy, fun airline.
Yeah.
Where unlimited drinks and fights in the aisle.
Kill two birds. You watch a fight, you get to where you want to go. And you get a discount on your ticket if you fight. If you choose to fight.
Now you're thinking.
You fight for free. Fight for free.
Fly for free.
Yes.
Or defend the flight attendants.
Yes, there you go.
Plead them.
Maybe you could get free baggage. You know, check your baggage for free.
Yes.
If you're willing to go in the ring.
Yes. Or if you use it as a weapon, you should be able to swing out for free.
Even better. That's a great idea.
Just don't steal the baggage.
Well.
Oh.
I think we've saved the airline industry, and we must go now. Yes. One more thing is up next. How deep is your love? Is it like the ocean? What devotion?
If your business kept on it.
Time now for one more thing, Jesse. Oh, wow. Take your time, huh?
The latest Fox News book, Faith Still Moves Mountains, by our very own Harris Faulkner, is now number one on the New York Times list. Congrats, Harris. Buy it anywhere where books are sold, and she'll be having a book signing broadcast live tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern. Mm. So go to livesigning.com/Harris to attend. Also, attend my show at 7, Uncle Sam versus the Ayatollah, my unique look at U.S. men's soccer.
Oh, geez.
You will not hear this anywhere else.
All right, I'm next tonight. Another great show. Emily Campagno, Charlie Hurt, Cat Tamp Tires. You're going to love this one. Hey, let's do this. Greg's, what is this tiny dog barking at? All right. I'm going to roll this around. You guys have to show, play it until it stops. There you go. He's barking. Judge, what is he barking at?
You.
Oh, okay. Jessica, guess.
TV.
TV.
The Five.
The Five.
Good guess. I was going to say TV. Soccer match?
Let's roll it. Did anybody guess this?
No.
It doesn't end
Where
there.
Where is that?
That's an elephant, Jessica. Well, God, I knew you hated Republicans. Look at him. He comes out. His dog comes out. Dog chases him away.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a bad dog. All right.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome. Okay.
All right, Judge.
All right, thank you. Today is Giving Tuesday, and that means it's time to give back. And one charity that's very near and dear to my heart is the Carolina Poodle Rescue. There I am with Stella on her first day with members of the Carolina Poodle Rescue. And then I got Red and Ted from them after Sir Lance Lot died. That's Stella on her first day. Now she gets
Mikimoto is the best.
Yeah, there she is on the left, and there's my Sir Lancelot. He was a prince. Okay. They've been seeing many dogs come to the shelter with various illnesses because the economy's so bad, people are unable to care for them. Carolina Poodle Rescue's mission is to rehabilitate, offer a permanent sanctuary, and find loving homes, as they did with me. If you want to take part in Giving Tuesday, check out their website, carolinapoodlerescue.org.
Oh, I got Giving Tuesday totally wrong.
Yeah, I thought he was taking Tuesday.
Michigan State.
I know. Dana, is that you? Yes.
It is me. So I have this Dana Sports Corner. I don't know if you can hear anything.
It doesn't
have music anymore. But anyway, the U.S. men's soccer team was not the only ones playing soccer today. Check out this goalie. Very good.
Whoa.
Very good. No, not going to get past him. Absolutely not.
Oh. That's amazing.
That's a pretty good-looking cat, right?
Oh, look at that. I could watch slow-motion cats.
Lands on his feet.
Look at that. This is proving your point, that this is more exciting.
I agree.
Yeah.
This is more exciting.
More exciting than basketball.
That's what Jesse said. Send your letters to Jesse.
That is fantastic.
Great. Women now outnumber men in the New York Philharmonic for the first time in its 180-year existence. Ouch. Women are now the majority by 45 to 44. It's a far cry from the organization's founding in 1842, when women were discouraged from even attending concerts without a male escort. 45 to 44. Did I say 42?
45 to 40.
Just one more woman than
men. There's more women than men.
It's exciting.
Why
gender
is this
equality.
Exciting? Who's keeping score,
I knew
score,
you would be
Jessica?
Crappy about this.
I don't keep score. Ooh,
because
how
you've
many
been
men
winning
are doing
forever.
This? How many men?
I'm Dana Perino. This week on Perino on Politics, I'm joined by founder and executive director of Power the Future, Daniel Turner, for a look at how we can advocate for a cleaner earth while strengthening U.S. energy independence. Available now on FoxNewsPodcast.com.
Listen to The 5 ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.